Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Right, Patty?
All right, Patty!
Ready for my question?
Yep, I am prepped, ready for the question. If you were a herb or a spice, what herb or spice would you be?
Now.
That is a belter,
nice.
Isn't it?
Nice.
That is a belter.
Now.
Oh, God, I've just noticed that my cat's just been sick.
Oh!
Genuinely, straight up, that's just happened under the desk.
Oh.
Yeah, anyway, I'll have to stay there till the recorder's finished. Yeah. Anyway,
moving on back to spices.
Moving on back to the herbs. Maybe it was the talk of herbs and spices that made her throw up.
Yeah. Now, I think I'd be some sort of hot one.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I'd be like your chili flakes or your...
I'd be a garam masala. Garam masala. How do you say it?
Garam masala. Garam masala. Oh, hang on.
Yeah,
garam masala.
I'd be a garam masala.
What the hell's a garam masala?
That's a herb.
I know, but what? How come you've come out with garam masala?
Because there's lots of curry recipes that use it, and I was looking at curry recipes yesterday. Hence, where this question came from.
Right.
Because I think this week I'd like to cook a curry.
Right.
And garam masala. Oh God, I can't say it. I can't be that herb. I can't fucking say it.
What does it even taste like? What does garam masala taste of?
Like, I think it's used in like your tikka masalas and shit, isn't it?
I mean, I think Patty, you've gone with the spice that you don't actually know anything about. So I don't see how you can say you're a garam masala when you don't even know what a garam masala tastes like.
And I can't say it
exactly. I mean, you could have gone with, you know, your parsley or your...
Yeah, it's too common.
So what you're saying is then you are obscure. You're an obscure spice.
I am obscure. Obscure.
Garam masala. I can't believe you've gone with garam masala.
So you'd be a chili flake.
I'd be your chili flakes or like your cayenne pepper or your chipotle.
Right.
Sort of spice.
What's cilantro?
Cilantro, darling.
What is that?
Now... The Americans call it cilantro. We call
what do
it
we call that?
Else.
Oh. Is it parsley?
Might be parsley. Yeah.
Is it? What is cilantro?
What is cilantro? Joe, the font of all knowledge.
It's coriander. Oh, we would call it coriander.
No, I'm not a fan of coriander.
Oh, I like a coriander.
No, it's too... it's quite overpowering, I find, coriander.
Yeah, yeah, no. And I think that would be you because you're quite overpowering. You come in with your opinions about ripped jeans and all that shit. You get people using best at the end of an email and then telling them you think it's shit. All of that.
No,
bollocks.
I would definitely not be coriander. I'd be hot base spices.
Yeah, okay. So something that you'd marinade with or
I like a hot curry.
What I'd be? Do you know what I'd be? Straight up, in all honesty, I'd be salt.
That's a bit of shit though, isn't it?
No. When have you cooked a dish? And it hasn't said add salt and pepper.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's the one you'd go for.
Yes, but I bring everything together. I bring everything, you know, I bring the flavour. You know, you can have your garam masala. You can have that, but without your salt to bind it with your cayenne peppers and your chilies and your coriander and cilantro, if you are American, without having your salt to bring all that together, you're screwed, mate. You're screwed. I'd be salt.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you've gone from garam masala to salt
says everything you need to know about me.
About you. Yeah. You thought I'm going to come in with a big old spice, garam masala. Can't
all hat, big hat, no cattle.
Exactly. There we go. Point proven.
Come in, big hat, no cattle. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to that exact episode. Big hat, no cattle. I came in, Bertie big bollocks, basically. And then I was knocked down a peg or two and went, oh, fine, fuck it.
Actually,
I'm
I'll
salt.
Just be salt. Yeah,
just be the least interesting one that there is.
The most bog standard spice. It's not really a always spice on people's, either. It's not a herb or a spice.
Always
salt,
on people's tables. Always present. Everybody's got it in their house.
It's not. Salt is not a herb or a spice. Salt is a seasoning.
It's a condiment, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So, again, are you coming with garam masala? No, because you can't say it and you don't really know what it is. You just thought, I'm going to come in with some big shit herb spice. Then you come back with salt. We realise that salt actually isn't a herb or a spice. It's a seasoning slash condiment. So, on your third go, Patty, what herb slash spice would you be?
I would be paprika.
Paprika. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. That's okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's taken, you know, three attempts to get to that.
Yeah.
But okay, we'll give you paprika.
Yeah. Mm. What would you be? A hot one?
I'd be, I'd be a hot one. I'd be your chili flakes. I'll be your cayenne pepper. I'll be your chipotle.
Yeah.
Smoky something.
I think you'd be a chipotle, actually. That's a good shout for you. Mm. I mean, a great taste.
Yeah. Bit of heat.
Everybody loves it. Bit of heat.
Bit of heat. Yeah. That's what you get with your Ange, I think. Your Ange spice. Mm. I think that's what you get. Also, because, you know, sometimes people can go, oof, wow, we know that's way too hot for me.
Right. Bit like Marmite.
Exactly. Yeah. Love it or hate it.
And I'm, love it or hate it.
I'm fully aware that I probably fit into that love it or hate it category.
I don't think you do. I think I'm more love it or hate it than you.
I don't know. I think sometimes with my, you know, overtly
ranty ways,
people get
on a lot of people's shit and tits, actually.
Up,
no, I hear you. That is true. I'm pleased you can identify that.
Yeah. Oh, mate. I'm big into identifying my own flaws.
I actually think I'm probably more all round lovable than you, aren't I?
No.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean people probably take to me easier, don't they? Don't you think? I think that's where we're going to land with this. Great question. The overall consensus is Patty is more lovable than Ange. Great, brilliant. I'm pleased that's where that question is.
Okay, I'm actually not even going to argue just because I can't be asked.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just let you live in that space for as long as you want to.
Amazing.
Now, we do need to touch, Patty.
We need to revisit.
The ripped jean. The overly ripped jean.
Because, really let down.
I mean, landslide victory for me there.
Well, I took a screenshot of the poll.
Yeah.
Do you know what the original, do you know what the end?
No, I don't. I don't know what the end result was. I remember seeing it and it was like, woo, okay, yeah, big time winning.
So your end poll, you won by 91%.
Get in!
And votes for Team Ange were 324. Mm. Votes for Team Patty were 34.
Yes. I mean, yeah. And to be honest, Pat, obviously the picture I shared on Gram was...
Mine aren't like that.
No, I know. That's why I was just about to get onto that. Yeah, they were overly ripped. And that's what I was talking about.
Mine aren't that bad.
Well, yours are a bit overly ripped, but they're the more shin overly ripped. Aren't they?
Yeah,
niche-in.
Not up to your
not
thighs.
Not thigh, yes.
Although mine have ripped a bit more now up by my thighs.
Right,
so.
Yeah, so you probably could fall into that category now.
No, they're not like that. They're really not like that.
I mean, when I was looking for pictures to put
on... Oh, I bet you were getting well annoyed.
There were some, literally, like, their buttocks were out.
Yeah, so a couple of people have sent me pictures with very overtly ripped bum jeans. I mean, that's ridiculous. Get a grip, guys.
Just wear pants or wear a thong. Just, you know, if you're going to get your bum out, just get your bum out.
Just get your bum out. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't be going out with, like, partly dressed, partly out.
No.
No.
No. Nobody wants that. No one. No one.
No one.
No one. So, yeah, so you won. The overly ripped jeans are not...
No.
People are not a fan.
No, not
324
a fan.
Plays 34. But my crew, we may be small, but we're the best crew to be part of, so... Mm,
well, not really.
Not really. Not really. Not really.
Do, 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 do.
Okay. Well, look, shall we head into the Old Urban?
Let's get into the Old Urban patois.
Oh, Urban patois.
Urban dictionary. Urban dictionary. Urban dictionary. Urban dictionary. Right, okay, no. I'm excited because I do love these urbans.
This one really
okay, actually, up. Sorry, just before we move on to the urban, can I just say, I have thought, I really liked the thing that you put on our Finding the Funny Instagram over the weekend about sharing your good news.
Oh, it was lovely, wasn't it? We had so many as well.
Do you know what I thought? I mean,
I thought the same thing. We should do a segment.
Yes. I mean, maybe this should have been a thing we spoke about off podcast record, but hey, we're here now.
I agree.
I thought, you know what? What a great little segment that would be.
Yeah.
Is that we ask people to send us
their good news.
Good news or a good story or something kind of.
Well, I loved doing those stories.
Yeah.
It was so nice to read all the good stuff. And there were some brilliant ones in there. Like there was one woman who had a biopsy from this massive mass and it wasn't cancerous.
Amazing.
I mean, just so good. It's so nice to have the positivity.
There is so. All you generally hear on the news, and a lot of the time maybe on social media and all those sort of platforms, is the real shit of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that is part of life.
Of course.
Take the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
But I just thought, wouldn't it be lovely to have just a little sort of, you know, maybe we do it every week. We do it like
maybe once a month
or something like that. We get people to send us their good news and we go, do you know what? We're going to pick randomly a few stories to share and have a chat about.
I think that's a great idea, Ange. Mm.
And now we've just got to come up with a name.
Yes.
So we shall work on that, Pats.
Ready, Patsy.
Yes.
Joe, get thinking of a name.
And a jingle. We need to come. I mean, maybe that could be your responsibility this
time. Yeah, maybe I could do the jingle this time, yeah.
I feel very in control today.
That is a wonderful way to feel.
That is unusual for me.
Really?
Yeah, I feel very... I don't know. I just feel sort of like, I just feel quite, you know, empowered.
Yes, Angie. We want the female empowerment. Mm, you know, there's not many times as women that we feel empowered.
No.
Hang on to it. Cling on to it. You know what's done that? You know what would have helped with that as well? Your therapy. No joke.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
actually,
when you feel like you become in control of your feelings a bit more... Mm. I had my last session with Kate on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And we went back over the last 4 months that I've been seeing her.
Yeah.
And we talked through all the things that I bought into that first session and how out of control and how disempowered I felt in terms of certain aspects of my life.
Yeah.
And honestly, the journey that you go on with that therapeutic space, I think the more that you start to get a handle on why you respond the way you do to things, perhaps why you feel the way you feel, the more likely you are to feel more empowered in the way that you live your life. Mm. I really do genuinely think that. So you've been going for a good 7 or 8 weeks now.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate that will be having an impact on your ability to control yourself and emotions.
Yeah.
It really will.
Well, I'm on fire.
She is on fire. Right. Do you want my urban?
Yes. Bring me your urbans. Apologies.
COVID Dutch oven.
Right, this has got to be something to do with if you, like, you and your partner have both got COVID, so you've got to stay in bed, and then it's literally like a fart off.
No.
Oh.
It's really funny, though.
Okay.
Burping with your COVID-19 mask on and smelling your own breath, requiring you to marinate in your burp juice. Jim burps. Chad, yo, did you taste that burp? Must be gnarly. COVID Dutch oven under there. Jim, you're damn right.
That is so
funny. How many fucking times in the last 2 years have you hated having a mask on? It hated it to start off with because you're like, it's really hot or I should take this off. And then you burp and you're like, oh God. Even more now because I've got the back wind. I've Dutch ovened myself through a burp because of this stupid mask.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
You fact that it says requiring you to marinate in your own burp juice. You really do feel like you marinate. It goes like right up into the nostrils.
Yeah, I mean, you get a real backdraft, don't you?
Because if you're wearing a mask correctly, which people, if you don't know, 2 years on, it's nose and mouth. Nose and mouth, people. Nose and mouth. You know, we've been through the put your nose in your mask, you're a dickhead.
You're a dickhead.
Exactly. Yeah, when you Dutch oven yourself with that on, it's disgusting.
Oh, that is so funny.
Isn't it? I found it, I was like, that is so specific.
I love the fact that it's, you know, pandemic related.
Yes, yeah, pandemic based. What do you think the worst thing would be to have eaten if you were going to COVID Dutch oven yourself?
Oh, it's got
to
be like garlic or something, hasn't it?
Or I was thinking bacon frazzles. Because they repeat anyway, don't they?
Bacon's quite a nice smell, isn't it?
No, but the crisps, you know, the Frazzles crisps.
Yeah, but I think they're quite a nice smell.
Yeah, no, when they repeat, they're not. They might be a nice smell and taste in the moment, but for the rest of for the next 3 days, when you're constantly burping Frazzles back on yourself, it's not pleasant.
I think, like, it's your garlic and your onion that's...
Do you?
Yeah, I think that is rank.
What, to regurgitate?
Yeah. To re-inhale your own garlic.
I reckon Nando's could be quite a nasty one.
Yeah, especially if you go hot. I mean, I go hot for Nando's.
You go hot with your piri-piris.
Yeah.
If that then repeats on you...
I wonder what garam masala does.
Let's have a spoonful of it each this week. Whack our masks on and await the burp so we can Dutch oven ourselves. there is a term for when you burp in your own face with your mask on, and it's called a COVID Dutch oven.
That is such a great one, Pat.
And I thought so specific for these COVID times. And I would like people, I'm going to do a shout out, because I would like people to let us know what they think would be the worst
COVID
to re-burp if you, and then Dutch oven yourself because you're trapped in a supermarket in a fucking mask. So there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden. Ange is at Ange Corden.
And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Okay, so Ange, what has been... I know this is hot off the press, this shit.
This only
came in yesterday afternoon. So what's been getting on your shitting tits?
Okay. The thing that's getting on my shitting tits are the people I live with.
I think we can all identify, not with the people you live with, but the people we live with.
Do you know what, right? This is so hot off the press, right? So yesterday, Pat and I are having our little text conversation.
Yes.
Have you got a tits? I've got an urban. Yes, I've got a tits.
Yeah.
So I originally said to Pats, I haven't got a tits. We'll have to think of a tits.
Yes.
An hour later, I went, scrub that. I've got a tits.
I've got a tits. Yeah, she messaged me back saying, I've now got a tits as of this afternoon. I'm thinking, oh God, what's happened? What's gone down in the Reading Massive?
What is wrong with people? And obviously I'm relating this very much to my husband and my two children.
Yes.
Who seem to be unable to put things away or hang up their coat.
Sure.
Or put something in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Or bring me their washing. Or just basically put their shoes away. Any of that. Put stuff in the bin.
Oh, now, Marty. As you know, I'm not particularly tidy.
No, that's true. Yes.
Although I think I have actually got worse since I've been with Marty.
Yes, I think Marty's really sort of had an effect on you in that way.
Well, Marty comes home from work and Marty will sit in his pants, right? Yes. Oh, this got on my shitting tits yesterday. Oh,
brilliant. I love the fact that my annoyances from yesterday afternoon are now helping you to get rid of yours.
Marty is sitting in nothing but a pair of boxers.
Pants.
Right? Mm. Yesterday afternoon, he said, should we put the heating on? I said, no. He said, why not? I said, because I'm in joggers, a t-shirt, a hoodie, socks and slippers. And he said, but it's cold in here. Mm. I said, right, go and put some clothes on.
Go put some clothes on, Matthew.
Like, why would we waste money?
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's not cold. No. You're just in next
you're
to
in
nothing.
Pants.
Anyway, what Marty will do when he comes in from work is get changed, take all of his clothes off. Like, the moment he steps over the threshold, he starts taking his jumper off.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go upstairs. So I'll come in. I might not be the best at perhaps putting away what I've worn, but I'll put it over the clothes basket if I'm going to wear the same jeans tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
Get into my comfies. No, Matthew just leaves it on a pile on the back of the chair, screwed up on the sofa, because he's just going to sit in his pants.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, Marty.
Well, it got to a point probably about a week ago. I mean, this was particularly annoying me yesterday. So, like, I basically was trying to tidy up the dining room table, right? Because it had shit all over it.
Right.
Like, this is really getting on my tits. We're going to eat later and there's shit all over the table, right?
Yeah.
As I was doing that, I noticed there were 4 coats hanging on chairs.
No.
4.
No, that's out of order.
So I'm like, what is wrong with everyone in this house? They can't hang their coat up.
Yes.
Oh, well, it's because I come in. I don't give a shit.
Don't care.
Go and hang your coat up.
I don't need the podcast. I just need you to hang the coat up. I don't need to know the backstory as to why it's landed here.
They don't live on a chair, do they?
No.
There is coat hooks in the downstairs toilet. That is where your coat goes.
Yeah.
And it just was. And then it was, you know, like you spot one thing and then you spot 100 million others.
Oh, God.
And I just went off on one. I just went ranty. I was ranty out.
That's not like you.
Well.
That is really unlike you.
I don't do it very often, but when
God,
I do.
God, were they
I
worried about you? Were they worried?
No, they're just all basically
ranting.
Laughing in my face.
Yeah. Oh, well, because
you
rant all
right,
the time.
Angie, you okay, Angie? No!
Well, yesterday, Matthew and I got a Wenzel's.
Wenzel's.
I've never
had a Wenzel's.
Oh, God, mate. Honestly, they're sensational.
Mm.
They're so good. Anyway, we had a Wenzel's yesterday afternoon. Matthew ordered it, got the stuff, set it all out on the plates. I went out into the kitchen. Every single package that something had been in was just on the side.
Yeah.
And then the massive Wenzel's bag that he could have just screwed everything up and put in the Wenzel's bag and put it either by the bin if it wouldn't fit or in the bin if it would fit.
Mm.
Like, it's not hard, is it? And
I just
the
felt...
other thing that shitting gets on my tits, I think we might have talked about this before, people who put stuff back when it's almost empty. Fuck off.
Yes.
I, like, a tiny dribble of Diet Coke left in a bottle, a tiny little bit of milk.
Yeah.
Like, we buy big tubs of yogurt.
Yeah.
A tiny, like, half a teaspoon of yogurt left in the bottle. No. Finish that off and throw it away.
Do you know what I think people do? I think they go, do you know what, if I just leave that tiny bit in there, I don't have to deal with rinsing it out and chucking in the recycling. So
exactly.
Put it back in the fridge.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just.
It is not on, guys.
It is not on.
It's not on.
It's just, you know. Yesterday I must have gone round. Has someone finished with that? Have you finished with that plate? Have you had that biscuit? Are you going to put that wrapper in the bin or are you just going to leave it on the side? I just feel sometimes like all I do is pick up other people's shit.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it, Pats. I am done with it. I mean, yesterday I threatened to leave.
Well, I mean, that's quite extreme. Are you okay?
No, that was a point. I was like, right, do you know what? I'm not picking up shit anymore. I'm leaving. I'll see you when I feel like coming back. And that might be 2 weeks. It might be 2 years.
Well, this is the moment where I can absolutely live in the joy of my childlessness.
Oh, mate, yeah,
because I have to pick up after Marty, don't get me wrong. I went into the kitchen. And when, you know, the thing that pisses me off, when Matthew does a tidy up of the kitchen, it's fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
Is this your idea of tidying up? Because to be honest, it's like 1% better than it was when I walked
in
10 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I do really think that I can really wallow in my childlessness.
You absolutely can, mate.
Because I don't have that. And also, Mum comes in and cleans our house.
Yes.
So she pretty much does a lot of because it's just the two of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what Mum did say to me is, I tell you what, Joel and Ellen can't do. They can't bring a cup down from their bedroom when they used it.
Exactly. Thank you, Miles. Yes. And Ian. Ian's the same.
She said they absolutely have got no hands. She said they've got the hands to carry up there. No hands to carry it back down.
The amount of times I very rarely go into Joel's room just because if I go in there, I quite often end up feeling like I'm going to
die,
blow the house up or something.
Yeah.
But when I do go in there, there is literally a windowsill full of cups.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what?
Is Joel quite messy?
Yes.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Because neither you or Ian are.
Well,
I think you can be quite messy.
Do you know what? I have pockets of mess.
Yeah.
Right, I have little pockets that I just go, do you know what? That's just my mess. And I'm owning that. I will get to it, but it's my pocket.
Yeah.
I don't have full outfits of mess. That's what I cannot hack that. And Joel's room is a classic teenage boy's room.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I walk in there and I'm like, shit in hell, Joel, open a window. It is
stinks. Poof,
it's like putting a COVID mask on and burping.
It's a COVID Dutch oven.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Whereas Nell's,
she's the other end.
She's like the other spectrum. She loves everything to be just so.
Well, that's Ian, isn't it? That's Ian.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, no, Ian is tidier than you, Ange.
I don't think he is.
Yeah,
no,
this is bollocks now. This is bollocks. Ian is tidier than you.
Ian is very good at tidying. And doing a sort out. You know, if like I say, oh, Ian, can you just go sort out? He'll sort the room out. It'll be like spotless, immaculate.
Yes.
Right?
He
but
can't maintain.
Day to day.
Can't maintain.
Shit.
Right. Okay.
Yesterday, when I had a coffee, came home with the coffee cup, just left the coffee cup on the side. Then he had a penguin, left the penguin wrapper on the side.
Right.
That shit is the day to day.
Right.
Little shits of shit. That's the shit and tits things.
The day-to-day little shits of shits gets on my shitting tips.
Yes, that is it. You're big shits.
Now.
Ian could handle big shits all day. He's great with the
big
shits.
It's your little shits.
The little tiny shits of shitty shit that's just left everywhere around the house. I could shove in his face.
Right. Okay.
And Joel's face, to be honest. Yeah. Nell's not so much. She's okay. She's pretty good, actually.
So I'm a bit worried about this dickish this week because I actually wasn't going to send it to you because it came in the box.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised you're concerned because of who it has come from and potentially how the behaviour has come about. So guys, just to share with you, this was a dickish behaviour we had in from Lady Cassie. Now, Lady Cassie has featured on other episodes of the podcast. She's become quite a regular. She's now one of Patty's very good friends.
Yeah.
Lady Cassie sent us in this. Someone constantly saying how good food is with every mouthful they take. And this actually completely relates to Patty, who was out on Friday night with Lady Cassie and several others. And actually, Patty, Lady Cassie dropped me a message.
What? Fuck
yeah, here we go. You ready?
I want to get her on the phone. I want to get her
no,
on
you
the
are not.
Phone.
You are not. You are to listen and you are to be part of this conversation. Okay. Lady AJ. She calls me Lady AJ. I call her Lady Cass. How are you? Hoping all is well. So, I thought I'd send you a little story for a Patty wind-up. Should my dickish be considered at any point? On Friday, we went out for dinner, eight of us. Ruth ordered. Why has she called you Ruth? Patty ordered a crispy beef salad. And as she was eating it, or shall I say, inhaling it, when it comes to... Comment with every single mouthful about how amazing the salad was. Actually, let me correct that it wasn't amazing. It was insane. It did not go unnoticed by us all, and it became the hashtag for the night. She definitely did not get away with it lightly. We all love a Patty wind-up. Hashtag insane. Loving the podcast as always. Smashing series 4. Much love, Lady Cass.
Oh my God, Cassandra. Yeah,
I was like,
if you're listening to this episode, I hate you.
But
if we ever go out with Cassie, honestly, you and Cassie are quite similar. you're both massive wind-up merchants. Like, you don't miss a trick. And you two would just pick on me the whole time.
It would basically be like when it's you, me and James together.
It would be exactly that. It would, and if it was ever the four of us, if it was me, Cassie, you and James, I'm screwed. Like
three against one.
Oh, God. That is a great message. She's worded it very well, but I am annoyed.
Honestly, I was like, Cass, you have brought me some great fodder for tomorrow's episode recording.
I can't believe she put, or should I say, inhaled. She actually said that to me on Friday night.
Well, you do.
She said, all right, slowly, don't need to inhale it. You don't need to eat it in one. She was like, you don't need to eat it in one mouthful, Ruth. You can.
Honestly, she has nailed you there. And you and Mal. Mal is exactly the same.
You do it too, though. You do it as well. You have been known to go, oh my God, this fish, this sea bass. Oh yeah, no, this sea bass, it is, honestly, it is, this fish, it's really good.
Do you know what you do as well quite a lot? Especially if you've made something, if you made like tea or a dish or predominantly cake, right? You will go, what do you think of that, guys? Do you think it's good? I think that's really good.
I actually think
that sponge is actually really, really moist and light. And I've got the buttercream. What do you think? Do you think it's nice? Do you think it's a bit sort of heavy? Have I made it a bit heavy? You literally go into like overdrive.
Well, I do that when I've bought somebody a present as well.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Like, do you like it? Because I've got the receipt. It's just like a, I don't know, it's like a checking out, but I do have a tendency to be like, no, do you like that bag though, Ange? Mm. I can change it if you don't like it. Do you like the colour? I thought it was a nice colour. Do you think it's a nice colour?
you do that a lot.
I really like it.
The sponge is great. I think your buttercream is very smooth and flavoursome. Yeah, you need a lot of that sort of reassurance.
I do. Well, there is quite a lot about me that's a bit like a child. And Michelle, talking of another very close friend, Michelle Leader. She says to me all the time, if I say something, even if it isn't a question, I could say, oh, I really like that perfume. If someone doesn't respond to me, I'll say it again. Oh yeah, it's nice, I like it too. I'll go, yeah, that perfume. And she said to me on a couple of occasions, Ruth, it's like you're three. Yeah,
that is true, actually.
With a child, you have to go, yes, that's lovely. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I will be like, no, that perfume's really nice, nothing. I really like that perfume. Nothing. What do you think of that perfume? And then she says, you get to the stage where you phrase it as a question. So the person doesn't have a choice. They've got to be like, yeah, I fucking like the perfume, all right?
No, that is...
But in this dickish behaviour, it definitely falls Mal.
Oh, for sure.
Mal is the worst. Mal's worse than me. I know off the back of Cassie's message, that's hard to believe. And I didn't even realise I was saying it on Friday night. But somebody around the table, I think it was Kaylee, Kaylee's absolutely hilarious. She's so dry, she's just very funny. I think it was her that just went, Ruth, is that salad insane? And everyone cracked up. So everyone must have realised that I'd said it. And I was like, yeah, it's insane. And then that sort of became
insania. It went all insania.
It honestly, yeah. Everyone was like, yeah, I mean, that is insane. That is insane. Yeah,
you do that a lot.
So this week, I put up a box on Instagram, and we had quite a lot of people actually in the box talk about mental health, anxiety, intrusive thoughts, all of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? I think this happens at the beginning of a year, you know. I really do. As we move into January, I always find January really, really hard. Mm. And weirdly, I get very anxious when people start talking about Christmas coming this year.
Yeah, because I
just feel like, God, well, you don't really know what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
You know, when people are like, well, for Christmas this year, I'm like, whoa, hang on. Mm. Right, we've got, it's not in a kind of like eye rolling, oh my God, you're already talking about Christmas way. It's in a sort of, you know, for me, like really, honestly, it's a, God, I hope everybody that I really love is still around the table.
Yeah.
Like there's that ongoing, like, feeling in me of like, well, it's not guaranteed that I'm going to spend next Christmas with all of those people that I do think that can start to raise your anxiety levels.
Definitely.
I sort of told you a little bit about this on the live, but the doctor recently diagnosed me with, we chatted a little bit about it when Vicky Patterson was on, with PMDD. Mm-hmm. This very extreme form of PMS.
Yeah.
And I have noticed massively across probably the last 6 months, mm-hmm. the lead up to my period, my invasive, intrusive thoughts and anxiety have absolutely skyrocketed.
Really?
Yeah, the week before my last period, I genuinely, like, this sounds so dramatic now to say it, because once my period came, but I had continuous thoughts of if it would be better if I wasn't here.
Oh my gosh, Pat.
Yeah. And the only thing that ever pulled me back from that was mum, really, like, because I could never, you know, I didn't want to do it. And I, you know, I never had a plan or anything like that, but I had, and that's how I knew. And it's been like that for probably the last 3 or 4 months. And when you get those invasive thoughts and you ruminate and it feels completely overwhelming, it is horrible. Like, it is really awful.
Yeah, see, I've never...
Neither have I until the last 6 months or so, ever.
I wonder if it's... Do you think it might be like... Because obviously for you, you're obviously, you know, getting older. And maybe it's like something to do with like when your hormones start to change.
Yeah, I think... And obviously I have endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. I already have very erratic hormone functioning anyway.
And, yeah.
You know, I have actually made the decision to go on the pill, which seems like, for somebody who's desperate for a baby, seems like a very extreme decision to make. But I don't want to feel that again. I had got to the stage with this last cycle. It was horrendous. Matthew didn't know what to do with me. He did not know what to do with me. And I don't just mean like I was emotional. I mean, I was saying to him at one point, crying my eyes out, I've got to sort my head out. I've got to, like, it was like I was having a breakdown. Yeah. The moment my period came, it just went. It just completely and I was like, I woke up and I thought, I've come on my period. Mm. Went to the bathroom and I had, and that day, I mean, I was exhausted from the week before. I mean, I had to pull in. I was driving back from somewhere not far from me. I had to pull into a pub and have a sleep. Like the overwhelming exhaustion, the physical symptoms, and my anxiety on that week and the weeks leading up to my period for about the last 6 months have been horrendous. I haven't known what to do with myself.
I've actually really noticed as well, like you talking about that. Obviously, it's because I'm now not really having periods and I'm on HRT, so I'm very much kind of that other spectrum now for me, and I don't really tend to get sort of
PMS,
sort of symptoms now. I don't generally get.
I was really fortunate, so I noticed probably about 6 or 7 months ago that my mental health before my period was really, really plummeting, and I started to keep very, very, very strict notes on my period tracking app about my mood and how I felt. And I, when I finally spoke to the doctor, because I'd started my period, it felt so dramatic. I was like, God, I feel like this is really dramatic. I feel like you know, you feel a bit silly because once that's passed, once you actually, your hormones are released and
you can be more rational.
Yeah. And I looked back thinking, God, the amount of times, I mean, a couple of days I struggled to get out of bed. Like that isn't like me. That's not the type of person that I am.
Yeah.
And my GP, the GP I spoke to was brilliant. She said, I'd like you to send me a screen, because it was over the phone. I'd like you to send me a screenshot of all of the things that you have tracked in your app. And I'm going to go and have a look at them. And I sent them on this portal thing, and she went and looked at them and came back. She phoned me back and she said, you definitely, definitely have PMDD. She was like, even your physical symptoms are like on steroids, way over and above what your PMS symptoms should be. I can see everything that you've tracked physically as well as emotionally.
What do they, like, is there anything you can...
So we had a really long conversation, and she said, like CBT, so dealing with your intrusive and invasive thoughts. So for people who are saying those thoughts are really, they're really struggling with those, CBT is a brilliant method, because it helps you, what CBT does is it helps you in the moment to manage what you're thinking and to be able to talk yourself down.
Yeah.
And so she said there's talking therapies, obviously, to which I said to her, I'm already seeing a therapist and I've got a good, you know, I wouldn't have got help and support on the NHS, and rightly so, you know, I can afford to pay for my own treatment, and I want that NHS support to be for those people who can't do that. She talked about antidepressants, but obviously you can't come on and off antidepressants.
No.
You take them or you don't.
Yes.
And she said, it sounds to me from looking at your app that you're relatively well the rest of the time, and that you, and I said, oh yeah, it's literally that 7 to 10 days before I come on my period. Yeah. It is horrendous. Mm. And then she said, well, the only other thing is contraception. So we talked about the coil or the pill.
Yeah.
And I opted for the pill because, I've heard mixed things about the coil, but I also just want something I can start straight away. And because of my cycles, I know that it would have been, well, we can't do it at this point. You know, you need to tell us this point of your cycle. And I can't ever really do that. I can't ever really gauge when I'm going to come on my period. And that's the other thing that's been difficult for me. It's felt so erratic, like trying to manage it. So I opted to go on the pill, which is somebody who never thought she'd stop trying to conceive, in the sense of, would never use anything to stop me getting pregnant, is, and that sort of says how extreme it's felt for me, because for me to make that decision, so I'm absolutely going to put something in my body that's going to stop me getting pregnant, is a massive decision. But it was so bad last month. It was, it was absolute, and for Matthew as well, he said to me at one point, sat on the, he was like, Ruth, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
It is so, you know, as awful and as hard as it is for you.
I'm like
Matthew in that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, it's weird, because the kind of the physical aspect of a period, you know, whether it's pain or, you know, how heavy you are and all the rest of it, you can kind of manage that to a certain extent. Yeah, it might be really awful and it might be really painful, but when it is stuff that's actually affecting your mental health, I'm like, is there something more wrong with you?
I mean, there's not a lot they can do for it, but it is a very, very real condition. And I just hope that having now started the pill,
it will start to help.
It will help reduce
feelings and your mood and,
so they've actually put me on the mini pill, which I think is the one where you don't have a break, you sort of take it continuously every day. So, but it, with regards to more general mental health, I mean, anxiety is very, very hard to manage and completely underestimated, I think. And I think anxiety is such a difficult one, because we need it, you know. Anxiety does keep us safe. It stops us from walking out in front of a car. It gives us that fight, flight or freeze that we need. It is an emotion that all of us have, and we should not try to eradicate, because we need to feel anxious sometimes. But when it takes over and it becomes difficult, my advice would be, grounding techniques are really good. So stepping outside on the cold concrete or the cold grass and allowing your feet to feel the earth beneath you. I know cold water therapy is very, very good, but you have to do that consistently. So like cold water, open swimming, lots of people say that that is invigorating, and it really sets them up for the day, and it helps with that anxiety. Cold yeah. showers,
yeah.
Ice cold glasses of water when those thoughts start to come. Mm. Sounds very, very simplistic, but you can't focus on how cold the water is and feel anxious at the same time. Yeah. It's impossible to do. Your brain can't do both.
Because I don't think I mean, I probably have had moments where I've maybe been a bit anxious about something, yeah. but I don't, on the whole, I don't think I've ever really been overly anxious or kind of suffer with those sort of anxious feelings. Or
I think the other thing is, what can sometimes be helpful is, you know, talking through with the person who's feeling anxious, taking them to the worst case scenario. So tell me what you're anxious about. Mm. I'm anxious I'm going to lose my job. Okay, why do you think you're going to lose your job? And what will either happen is somebody will be able to say, oh, because I forgot to do this or I forgot to do that. Mm. And you can kind of those ruminating thoughts, you can say,
yeah.
And even if you go to, okay, I might lose my job, the reality of the impact that will have, unless I've done something really serious, yeah. and lots of the time anxiety is things that are never going to happen.
No.
It's fear of the unknown. It's you know, and you've got to feel the fear and do it anyway, you know. Mm. Or I'm going to this social gathering, what if everyone laughs at me? Or I've got to do this, what if I do it wrong? Okay, well, if you do it wrong, what's the consequences? Because sometimes going right to the actual root of it, and having them go, oh yeah, there aren't really any consequences, are there?
Kind of helps people, you to think it through and talk it
yeah
out.
And yeah. it catches that thought. Mm. And it says, the other thing that is really, really good for anxiety, and it sounds very odd, but helping the person to sort of schedule their anxious thoughts. So when those thoughts come into their head, saying, and I did this a lot in my therapy last year when I did EMDR, saying, I only think about those things in the shower.
Yeah.
This isn't the time that those thoughts come into my head.
Yeah.
I am going to deal with it, because sometimes what we want to do is just say, well, don't feel anxious. You don't need to worry. You've got nothing to worry about. And that's that to somebody who's suffering with anxiety is like the worst. It's
not
like
helpful.
Saying to somebody, what have you got to be depressed about?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, when people say, oh, it's just silly to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. Mm. It sort of minimizes.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, okay, when it comes into your head, I only think about that at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday night, or I only think about that at 5 o'clock every day, or I only think about that when I'm in the shower. Mm. What you're saying is, don't shut it down.
No.
It's valid and you've got to think about it, but you don't have to think about it all the time, every minute of every day. And I started doing that back end of before when I did my EMDR. And honestly, I would have those anxious feelings come into my head, and I would say, I think about this in the shower, every morning in the shower, I don't think about this now.
No.
And I would stop it. And I would get into the shower and I would think, right, what are those things that I was worried about or were, you know, sort of troubling me?
I spoke a little bit to my therapist, kind of linked to, you know, that sort of aspect of my life. And she said to me about saying to anyone who's kind of, really struggling with anxiety or anxious thoughts, instead of trying to push the thought and the anxiety away, hold its hand.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, I know that I'm feeling these things, and I know that they are kind of really bothering me and affecting, but I'm actually just going to hold its hand and try and kind of befriend it to a certain extent, and not kind of make it be this thing that you have to kind of keep pushing away or shutting down, or and just kind of find a way of going, Joe, I am feeling this right now, and I'm going to take its hand, and I'm going to try and process it and work through it, and then hopefully I can let that hand go. And I think, I mean, you know, we've spoken a lot actually in the last few months about kind of, you know, my sort of struggles with mental health sort of last summer and sort of towards the back end of last year. And obviously I'm now on antidepressants and they have helped hugely for me. Yeah. And actually I do feel really, a bit like I was saying at the top, I feel kind of quite, you know, in control of a lot at the moment, which is a nice place to be. But I have definitely found, and I never ever thought I would be one of these people, but I now definitely find exercise helps my head so much.
Yeah.
Like, and I you know, quite often I'll, you know, obviously doing this couch to 5k at the moment and stuff.
Are
like
you?
That.
You don't post about it much. I don't
like to talk about it very much.
Yeah,
so I try.
Sort
of,
I mean,
you know.
You actually showed your running track yesterday. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah.
I think we've actually put that in Dickish Behaviour on the podcast before. People who record where they've run and put it on social media. No one cares.
It's more because I'm like, shit in hell, if I run that far.
Well, no one cares. Keep that to yourself. You can think that without posting it on Instagram.
I shall continue to post it. for me, that sort of stuff is more about my head than it is about the physical aspect. Yeah. It honestly really isn't. Yeah. And I think the more I've done it, the more I've feel and find the benefit of doing that. And it doesn't have to be like any crazy, you know, it have to be running marathons or
like a walk, just even moving like your body, that is part of health,
going out for like a walk with Luna and just kind of taking all of those things, I think. And I think sometimes it's the points where you don't want to do it are quite often the points you should
the best
do it
times,
You know, when you're literally like, I seriously cannot be asked to go outside today. I can't be asked to take the dog for a walk. I can't be asked to put my trainers. Whatever it might be, 9 times out of 10, that's the time you need to do it the most. And I think there is something around that sort of element of life that I think can really help your head. Mm. And it, especially when you are feeling really, you know, it's not the answer to everything. And it has to be a conjunction of lots of other different things that kind of help you. But I, for someone who has kind of recently had a bit of a struggle with mental health, I hadn't really ever had before. Mm. That's something that I have really, really found beneficial to me. Mm. And I think I would sort of, you know, anyone who is struggling with any of those things, I would, you know, 100% say just put on a pair of shoes and go outside, even if it's just for a 10-minute walk around the block or walk around your park or whatever it might be.
The other place, obviously, that you can go to, Mind have a huge array of resources for anything to do with mental health, and they actually have a whole section on anxiety. The final thing I would say is try and find what works for you, and not everything, you know, our mental health isn't a one blanket fits all, and for some people it will be moving their body, for other people it'll be talking therapy, for other people it'll be both. And I think the most important thing is that you get to know yourself, and you get to know the things that bring you joy, and also those things that you find difficult. Because it's only in knowing what we find tough or what we struggle with that we can be kinder to ourselves and make sure we're okay. So obviously we're both massive advocates for talking therapies, and if you can afford to get yourself a therapist, I know that's a luxury not able to be extended to everyone, but if you can, I would absolutely recommend that. Cold water therapy is really good, you know, ruminating, if you can get somebody to talk you through what's the worst case scenario, that's also a really great thing to do. But just get to know yourself and you'll figure out what works for you, I suppose. Well, look, there we are. So look, we've said all throughout the show there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Gordon, Ange is at Ange Gordon,
and you can find the Finding the Funny podcast on both Instagram and Facebook.
We hope you've enjoyed the episode. We love hearing from you. Make sure you get in touch with us. Send us all your funny stories, anything that we can bring, all your podcast fodder. We love it. But we'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.